Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle, coming up on the programme this week.
When I was younger, you know, you think of things like friends and how there's same-sex relationships and that, but they're not necessarily shared in a positive light all the time. And so whenever it was shown, it wasn't something that was aspired to be and that you wanted to be part of that community.
We know there's lots of research, particularly about young LGBTQIA plus young people who have higher instances of suicide, they have higher instances of self-harming, higher instances of depression.
Really, we can have gay, lesbian, bisexual, asexual characters without that being their storyline. There doesn't always have to be a big thing around who they're dating or their sexuality for them to just have a decent storyline.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday.
The home of the UK's conversation about mental health. Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. I hope you're well. Oh, we've had such a big reaction to the show in recent weeks. I've been really pleased with a lot of the feedback, people coming forward, people recommending future guests for the programme. It means we're probably block booked now for the next sort of 4 to 6 weeks, I would probably say. I don't want to say stop sending guests, because actually it's always good to have a list of people who want to appear on the programme, services who want to tell us about the services that they're offering. Absolutely. So let's just keep that communication going, and I'll just do my best to manage the diary, if you like, and make sure that we can keep these conversations moving and get as many people onto the programme as we can, and hear hopefully as many sort of diverse voices on the programme as well. Now, LGBT History Month this month, for the month of February 2022. It's going to be part of the topic of conversation this week. It's really interesting, this one, looking at the results of a survey into representation of relationships and how we view relationships in things like TV shows or on adverts, and how they inform us about whether or not the relationships that we are having or that we are in are part of the so-called norm, part of how society sort of perceives relationships to actually exist, and whether or not they truly do represent the sort of relationships that people are having. As a result of a survey between YouGov and The Mix, there was questionings to young people across the UK, 67% of which wanted to see more honest representation of the complexity of relationships within mainstream media, rather than what they perceive to be an idealised version. And actually, when it comes to the LGBTQI plus group, they said that they were most likely to agree. They would feel more confident if there were more varied representations of relationships shown in the mainstream media. The most significant factor affecting relationships with family members among gay or lesbian young people was indeed their sexuality. So they want to see that represented in different ways. They want to see it in a way that shows that actually, if this is the lived experience of people in everyday society, that actually that should be shown on TV shows, that should be shown on adverts and in movies as well, that we move away from this idea of the gay character's plotline is that they are gay, you know, which has been, you know, a plotline in countless TV shows that I watched growing up. It's a really interesting topic, this, because it speaks of that thing, doesn't it, of if you cannot see someone who is like you, or who almost, you know, emotes in a way that you can relate to, it's hard to place yourself within a community or a society if you can't see a place for yourself within it. It's a really interesting way of looking at things, and actually makes you question maybe some of those sort of preconditions we set on our expectations of what we expect to see if we talk about a couple, what we expect to see if we talk about a relationship, a healthy relationship, you know, that it can be a man and a woman, or a woman or a woman, or a man or any of those sort of combinations are absolutely normal and absolutely acceptable because it's 2022. But really, how much do we really and truly embrace that? And of course, if you are growing up in a world where you're, for instance, from the LGBT community, and you're not seeing that represented, and you're not seeing it represented in a healthy way, what are those long-term implications and impacts for a young person in terms of how they feel going forward, if they feel alienated from society, or if they feel that in some way that they're not represented on TV screens, on the radio, you know, in adverts, on the big screen? It's a really, really interesting topic of conversation. And we've got a couple of guests on the programme this week to talk about it. In a few moments' time, we'll hear from the CEO of The Mix, Chris Martin, who's looking at this relationships campaign to encourage people to ensure that when you do show relationships, you show a whole range of relationships, and they're also realistic. But first, let's hear from Emma, who's from the LGBT community and a brilliant speaker, 21 years of age, sets out what it's like growing up in a world where you don't quite feel like you see versions of yourself represented elsewhere.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think part of who you are as a person and how you see yourself and the way that you identify has a huge like impact on yourself and the world that you have around you.
I guess as well, we grow up in you know, in a world which is almost created for us, don't we? And I guess things like our sexuality become maybe the first sense that maybe there's something about us that's a little bit different, that something that's maybe there's something that's just for you, or information that only you know about. And it's such a, it can be such a huge pressure and a weight for a young person to carry, because you're carrying it in a way which maybe you haven't carried information before, in a world that's always been served up to you to a certain extent.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think as like you said, like your sexuality is something that over the past years is becoming more acceptable to talk about and acknowledge and things like that. But actually, it's not always, you don't always feel safe to do that or comfortable to do that. And so you're holding such a big part of you that you don't feel able to share with others or talk to your closest friends and family about, and how that impacts the kind of version that is seen of you by others can be quite big. Yeah.
I guess this is why the survey results that you guys have come up with at the Mix are so important. Because it goes to show that actually those outside influences, how we view things like relationships on TV and in movies, actually gives us a sense of framing our own sense of self in the real world.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, like I'm 21 now, but growing up, what I saw on media was kind of the whole princess and prince charming you know, teen high school lovers and Gabriella and Troy kind of falling in love. And that was all what you ever saw. So that's what you only ever expected to be as you grew up. That was the kind of relationship you were going to have. You know, you're going to fall in love with some guy and live happily ever after and have kids and all of that. And then I think as I've gone through my teen years, and especially in the last couple of years, how that representation in the media has changed slightly, not hugely, but slightly, so that, you know, we now have two same-sex young people who are in a relationship, or, you know, we're having people who are being open and honest around their gender or their sexuality through screen and like through media, and being able to just have that as an option and be like, oh, actually, you know, maybe I could be in a relationship with a woman and that's okay. And that, just having that option, I think is, changing things.
Yeah, the survey results, 81% of LGBT young people would be more confident if there were better representations, which is interesting, isn't it, as well? And it's High School Musical, isn't it, you're talking about, Gabriella and Troy, I think. Was there a moment for it, was there like a female relationships that you saw on screen? Was there something in there, like a music video or something, where you thought, all right, maybe there are different things, different ways for that people show a version of themselves?
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting point, because when I was younger, you know, you think of things like Friends and how there's same-sex relationships and that, but they're not necessarily shared in a positive light all the time. And so whenever it was shown, it wasn't something that was aspired to be and that you wanted to be part of that community. And I think as I've gone through my teens, shows like Sex Education and like Euphoria, where they so openly have different sexualities on screen and different gender identities, that even just slightly has kind of made you feel more confident to be able to be like, yeah, you know, I identify with her, or I identify with this relationship, rather than having to always sit and watch something and be like, I don't see myself in that.
Absolutely. And as well, people come from different sort of family backgrounds as well. And I guess if there's no LGBT people within a family, or that it's not talked about within a family, that actually, although the family are the closest people to you, the survey found that maybe young people felt, I think it's around about half, felt that they couldn't turn to a family member, or even that they might even get a negative response from a family member, which kind of shows, doesn't it, how far along we've got to go in terms of this conversation.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think it's such a generational thing around acceptance of different sexualities, and that, you know, even my parents' generation, for example, although there was quite often positive conversations within my household around sexuality, and, you know, my parents did always say that, you know, they'd love us however we, you know, identify with, or, you know, if we have ended up with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, but actually it was always quite trivial because they kind of just say it, but actually the representation was never there to for people to think that that would be who we are. And looking like to my extended family, which, you know, you then end up with grandparents and a generation again in which being anything but heterosexual just wasn't acceptable ever. And it's quite often those thoughts and those kind of attitudes are still stuck within those generations.
I think so. That's really interesting. Actually, just, it makes me think that you almost that generational thing, which is like, as a parent, you might say, I'll love you no matter what. With that, the undertone to that is, even if there's something like there's like an undertone, isn't there? Even if you're X, Y, or Z, I will still love you. And but actually, that generation would think that, oh, this, I tell my kids I love them no matter what. But actually, even you just saying it then, as you said it to me, made me think, oh, actually, no, that in and of itself is loaded with that connotation that even if you're, I will still love you, as opposed to it doesn't matter. Whichever, it doesn't matter at all. I love you no matter what, because I am your parent, and so on and so on. Really interesting. Absolutely. But we'll come back to you in just a few moments' time. Let's bring Chris Martin, the CEO of The Mix, into the conversation. Chris, so many conversations around young people are about sort of nature versus nurture. This just goes to show, doesn't it, for, you know, key parts of young people's lives, they're looking for that outside influence, if you like, that nod that their feelings are represented in the relationships that they see, both within, you know, maybe a family or the close community, but in those wider networks as well, things like the mainstream media.
Yeah, I agree. It's really interesting, Mick. I don't think there's anything different about the different ways in which young people's relationships are, and the diversity and range of the different types of relationships that young people have. I think this conversation is really about how young people can be accepted for all these different ways in which they form relationships and with people, and how they can feel confident in themselves. So actually, what we see when young people aren't supported by the family or they can't find positive role models in the media is that it makes you feel like maybe there's something wrong with you, and that knocks your core confidence and your core self-esteem, that you're doing something wrong, or it's not right, or you're not like everybody else. And that can have a long-term effect on your mental health and how confident you are in how you feel about yourself. And so that's why this is quite so important. And the media can be a great leader in this, because actually by portraying the reality of all the diversity of relationships that young people have, and portraying it in a meaningful way that they're not just an add-on character, or it's not just, this is not just a story about this kind of thing, this is just life. Young people can see themselves as being, actually, this is just me, and that's fine. And also maybe parents, who have such an important role in supporting, and people can go, well, actually, yeah, this is pretty normal, and actually, this is still my daughter, still my son, and I should be supporting them and loving them in the way that I would. And there's nothing different or odd here at all.
In terms of the long-term implications and the impacts, what have you seen over the years about young people who have been wrestling with their sexuality or gender identity, in terms of how that has manifested itself into sort of other issues when they've not been able to find those role models, or they've not been able to find that sort of family acceptance? What are the things that can lead to that could be problematic for that young person?
Well, sadly, that there are very real world impacts when young people have this sense of disconnection or are not accepted or approved by their families, or find themselves outside of society. We know there's lots of research, particularly about young LGBTQIA plus young people, who have higher instances of suicide, they have higher instances of self-harming, higher instances of depression. So actually,
this has a real impact on people's mental health and their physical health as well. And so it needs to be considered quite seriously, because it's a relatively easy fix just to be going, actually, there are different ways in which people form relationships with each other, and there are different ways in which, and even different ways in which young people have relationships with themselves. And we just need to be aware of these, and we need to accept them.
Yeah, I'll get Emma's take on this one, but I wanted to actually, 2/3 in the survey wanted to see more honest representations of the complexities of relationships. And actually, it's interesting that if there are going to be these sort of role model characters in TV shows, that people don't want, we don't want tokenism in this, you know, here are the gay couple and, you know, here they are doing gay lifestyle things. We want to see them as a relationship. Here's where they fall out, here's where they don't fall. The complexities is actually quite crucial. Actually interesting that young people are looking to see that, the good and the bad. They want a rounded picture when they view relationships.
Yeah, and because I think it's got to be realistic. So there are lots of areas in society in which media does present with lots of different things, a very, very sort of singular view of how things should be. So Emma spoke a little bit about the sort of classic Disney princess type, you know, romance that everybody should or shouldn't aspire to. But the reality is that that's not what life is like, and that's not what people are like. And actually, the diversity we have is fluid and common, and actually it should be accepted for what it is. And so I think we'd like to see not just images of people with different backgrounds and different relationships and different sexualities represented in media productions, but it to just be not to be, it just what it is. It's not the lead part of a story. As you say, it's not the story about the person who was like this. It's just the story's about this, and there just happen to be these different types of people taking part in that story. And I think that action of normalizing this will be hugely impactful for young people in terms of their sense of, you know, I'm just me, and also in their acceptance within families.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's still a thing, isn't it, generationally, if you see even advertisements, you know, billboard advertisements, that now sometimes you will see, you know, a gay couple is represented. And I think there's still a sense that there's a bit of shock value to it. People, ooh. Whereas actually, I think generationally, potentially that will change as young people grow up. If they're just exposed to those sorts of, you know, images and ideas, they won't think, oh, that's a bit strange, or that's not the norm, which is a world which probably even my generation hasn't grown up with that being the norm. But it's starting to creep in now, and we don't want to ghettoize or alienate anyone who sees that and thinks, oh, finally, I'm seeing something that's maybe represents something that's a little bit more associated with myself.
Well, I think we might argue this was always the norm. So actually, in our research, you know, that we've got half of the young people are in romantic relationships with people from opposite sex. Some aren't. Some are in asexual relationships. Some are just aren't very happy in their relationship with themselves. And so I think this has always been the case. I think it's just for us to absorb that information and take it on normally. I would also point out that actually even the pressure to be in a relationship can be quite overwhelming. There's certainly, we touched a little bit on this, where actually there's a lot of dating apps and so being used now. Sometimes that image of being in the perfect relationship, whatever it may be, can be a sort of a goal for us, a sort of self-esteem goal for young people. And actually it shouldn't necessarily be. It's really about being who you want to be, with whom you want to be at the right time. And it's not something you need to do under any circumstances.
Absolutely. You're going to get me onto my thing about Love Island and why I think it's fundamentally flawed, because it's based on this thing of you can be successful on this program, but only if somebody likes you and you like them, or pretend to like them in return. It always struck me as like a sinister, like what is the thing that really, you know, that can really sort of fundamentally sets humans apart from anyone, and this idea of love, but then almost to monetize it into a comp, who can love the best. Well done, it's Rory and Selena. I don't know, there was always those sorts of types of people I always thought was very, very suspicious, but that's a conversation maybe for a different day. Let's bring Emma back in to the conversation. That idea of sort of wider representation, Emma, for TV advertising, sort of music videos. Do you think there's an appetite for young people for that just to be there and to be the norm? And actually that there's a sense that that can just be something which media organizations can get switched onto in a way that actually an audience will respond to it.
Yeah, 100%. And I think we've done really well as a society in media in the recent years to get those storylines out there around especially young people who are kind of questioning their sexuality or their gender identity and shining a light on that and, you know, going through with some characters of TV shows of, you know, their journey of their sexuality and shining a light that you can go through that journey and all of that. But I think we're now moving past that to the point that really we can have gay, lesbian, bisexual, asexual characters without that being their storyline. You know, there doesn't always have to be a big thing around who they're dating or how they're feeling about their sexuality for them to just have a decent storyline. And I think that's what we're looking for next, so that you can, you know, I may be a queer woman, but I also have issues in my life that don't impact my sexuality that I'd love to see in media being represented, or like you're saying, kind of adverts, and just that being the norm without it being almost like any shock factor of, oh, they're using like a same-sex couple for this deodorant advert or something. Yeah,
you're totally right. Again, like that if you were in the TV show, your character would be the, she's going to come out to her parents, oh, this is going to be awkward, and like that would be like the designated, and that's been the plot line for gay characters like ever since the introduction of sort of gay characters to TV shows, as opposed to they're going through X, Y, or Z, and actually their relationship isn't even referenced other than it's a relationship as any other relationship would be referenced as well. And I think, yeah, absolutely. It feels like there are some shows that are starting to move in that direction. They appear, I think, to be the sort of the mainstream sort of youth orientated type shows. I still wonder whether or not if it happened suddenly on EastEnders or Coronation Street, there'd be some arguments from the right wing press that woke culture had overtaken the BBC or ITV. And you'd have a lot of people saying, why can't we just see straight relationships from middle-class white people? Because that's what we're used to seeing, and anything else makes us feel a little bit uncomfortable. Like, you still get the sense that the campaigning work that The Mix is doing on this, that there'll always be a bit of a backlash from people going, can we not just have things the way that they were, even though they were actually quite damaging to quite a lot of people?
No, definitely. And I mean, even some of those shows that you mentioned there do have some really, really great representation on there where it's not solely around their sexual identity. And I think that part that you mentioned around so often the gay or lesbian or whatever character, their storyline is around coming out. Why should we even have to come out? Like, and that's the whole thing. Like, why is the norm that we are heterosexual, that, you know, the norm is that I'm going to grow up and have a boyfriend and a husband? Why is that already put on me when I never said that, kind of. And that idea that we know we're showing a storyline that so many young people go through, and that's right, they do. So many young people are going through coming out to their family or their parents and their friends. And actually we're getting to a point now that we're changing that narrative in itself of, we shouldn't have to come out. That should just be, oh, you know, here's my girlfriend, here's my partner. Rather than it being a shock factor. But yeah, you're also right in this sense of there's a large majority which won't identify with the sexual orientation of someone who's not straight. And so they're used to seeing straight white middle-class people on their TV, and that may be a comfort for them. And so that's okay for them, but it's alienating a whole portion of their audience. And so just bringing in some representation is also shedding a light on the society that we do live in, and that, you know, everyone around us isn't straight and white and middle class. And so then when you come across people in your life who are gay, lesbian, it's not a shock factor of, oh, you know, I've never met someone who's gay before. It's just kind of who we are.
Absolutely, absolutely. Really well spoken. I apologize, by the way, if I have misrepresented EastEnders or Coronation Street. I should watch more of those shows. If they have moved on with the time since I last saw them, absolutely full credit to them as well. Chris, this is an ongoing campaign as well for the mix now in terms of relationships and nudging organizations towards that. Are those conversations you're looking to have in the future with sort of major organizations about representation and actually the benefits that can come from true representation?
Yeah, I think so. I think we'll keep going ahead with this. I think it's worth pointing out that actually the genesis of this work was us talking to young people and to a particular group of our young ambassadors and going, what is it you'd like us to focus on next? And relationships came up as a message loud and clear, and then we went off to do more research. So this has been something that's been driven out of young people. I think I think we're not trying to push some kind of woke agenda. What we're trying to do is contribute to young people feeling comfortable about who they are, the relationships they go into, and the families around them and the people around them also understanding those really well, because it will just make everybody much happier. It will avoid long-term mental health conditions and young people struggling with depression and some of the nastier things which we've already spoken about, just having to go through this process. So we think it will have a real-world effect. So we'd like to see continuing to push this agenda of let's see more of this in the media to keep having this conversation more openly. Let's make sure young people know that actually, if you are having this conversation or thinking about this, there's places you can go. You can come to Mix and find out information and hear stories and talk to other young people who might be going through similar things. So there are people there who will support you, even if the people immediately around you won't. So I think if we can do that, we can make for a happier generation of young people coming through, going on to being their absolute best selves, because they are wonderful and brilliant, no matter who they choose to have a relationship with or not choose to have a relationship with.
Absolutely, absolutely. Chris Marty, thank you so much for your time, CEO of The Mix. Emma as well, thank you for your time. Really appreciate your thoughts. You probably noticed as you were talking, just things like triggered in my head. I often do this when I do the podcast, where people say stuff and I suddenly go, oh yeah, I need to write. It's my brain rewriting itself to think and develop a different idea for the future as well. So you delivered a number of them for me today. Chris, you always do. That's absolutely what you do. Thank you both for your time. Thanks for joining us on the program.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.